Welcome back, everybody, to another rapid fire review session. And today we will review the third parak of Maseches Bava Metzia. That is parak Hamafkid. It starts on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis and goes until Mem Dalad Amud Aleph. So the parak starts at Hamafkid Eitzel Chavero Behema O Kalim. When someone gives someone else something to watch, Reuven gives something to Shimon to watch, and he goes and willingly pays for it after it was stolen or lost, and then he gets to acquire the kefel in that type of situation. And the dollar of the hay if something were to happen in that type of scenario. So this is the beginning of the perek. And then on Daf Lamed Dalad, which is where it goes and starts with the Gemara, basically. The Gemara talks about how a Shomer can acquire the kefel if it's a davar shelo baliolam. If we don't have this thing in existence yet, it wasn't necessarily found or the kefel wasn't deliberated on. So how can a Shomer go and get it if it's a davar shelo baliolam? Which led us into a discussion about how agreeing to pay for the object, when the Shomer says that I will pay you, even though he didn't actually pay, just agreeing for it is like you're going to be paying. We then had many different types of questions and scenarios about whether the Shomer can acquire kefil in such a type of situation, which we left off as a teku. We then had the classic shvua of Rav Huna. Rav Huna taught us that even though you don't have to make a shvua if you're going to pay, still you would have to make a shvua, midra abanan, you make a shvua she'ina bershu, so that I don't have it in my rishus, my taima chayshinan, shema einav nasan ba, because maybe I really just want your object and it's worth it for me to go and pay you for your object. So I'm going to go and claim that it was stolen or lost and I'll pay you for it. But really, I have it in my possession the entire time, which leads us on to Daf Lamed Hey, where we continue some of this discussion in terms of how the Shavua works. We then get into another discussion about Shuma Hadar, which basically means that if I owe you money and I can't pay you back, so you come and seize some of my property or my assets. So now when I eventually do hopefully get that money back, when I do make some money and I am able to pay you back, do you have to go and sell that thing back to me? So there's a machlokas whether this applies for a year or forever. We end up saying Shuma Hadar, that I can go and get my thing back once I get the money, and this lasts forever because of the pasuk of Vehasisa Yashar Vehatov, that I got to go and do the right thing and step up to be a good person. We then get into another Mishnah, which talks about, can a socher make money when a socher lends out an object to someone else? Meaning, let's say I'm a renter, so I rent from someone else, and then I decide to lend it to a third party. That third party has something happen to it where I would be pater, but that person's going to be chayiv. So now I'm going to go to the owner of the object and make a shua that this happened, and I'm going to be pater, and the person that I lent it to is going to pay me, so I end up making money off someone else's object. The Tanakhama says, yes, that's okay, but Rabbi Yossi says, how can that possibly be? How could it possibly be that I'm going to be making money off of someone else's stuff? That was Daf Lamed Hey. On Daf Lamed Vav, we spoke about when there's a false shvua. If you're denying the money, then you're going to be chayev a karban asham. Meaning, if you're going and turning yourself from chayev to pater, you're going to be chayev a karban asham. And if you're just lying for the sake of lying, then you're going to be chayev a karban chatas. We then got into a whole long discussion about shomer shemasar l'shomer. Rav says you're going to be pater. Rabbi Yochanan says you're going to be chayev if a shomer shemasar l'shomer. Why would you be chayev? So Rabbi Yochanan has this concept, the one of two options: either because ein ritzoni chei pikdon biyad acher, I trust you and not someone else with my object, or that I believe you to take a shvua, but I wouldn't believe someone else to take a shvua, and that's why I specifically gave it to you. We then end this daf. Daf Lamed Vav ends with a long discussion about this concept of Pasha Bav V'yatzas La'agam U'mesa Kedarka, where I was negligent with your object, and it went to the swamp, and it was something bad, and then eventually it died in a normal way. So this is a Tchilaso B'Pshia V'Sofa Ba'ones. Are you going to be Chayev in that situation or not? Abaye and Rava each heard different things from Rabba. Abaye heard Chayev, Rava heard Pater. One of the svaros that was used to say that Yirgit should be Pater is because Malach HaMavis, Malach HaCham, Malach HaSam. If it was its time to die, it's its time to die. It doesn't matter what happened before or where it was. So maybe that is going to be why you would be Pater. So that leads us on to Daf Lamed Zion. We have a new mission. The mission tells us we have a case where we're not sure who you stole from. I say I stole from one of you, I just don't know which one. Or where I have a pikadon of one of your fathers, I just don't know who. So in there, the halach is that you have to pay back both people. But then we said there's also a concept of manashlishi, where I have $200 from one person, $100 from another person. I don't remember who gave me the 100 or the 200. So we have this concept where I'm going to have to just split the rest or pay back the 100 and then leave the third 100, or I just hold the whole thing until Eliyahu HaNavi comes. So we spoke about the difference. When would you have to pay back both? When would you have the situation of Yachloku or of just leave it until Eliyahu HaNavi? It might sound, when it comes to Gezel, you want to pay because Bebel Latzei Sidei Shemaim, you want to get rid of any Hovos that you might have. We are now going on to Daf Lamed Ches. On Daf Lamed Ches, we had another Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about selling a pikadon of produce, which is becoming ruined. If it's very badly ruined, the Gemara says, then you can sell it. But the whole discussion about when you're allowed to sell, how you're allowed to sell, which led us into a bit of a side point about a gabbai tzedakah and others need to be very careful not to do things that look suspicious because people are going to suspect them when they're dealing with the klal's money. We then spoke about the laws of a captive's property. Do we appoint a karov to take care of the property of a captive as they're being held captive, which led us on to Daf Lamed Tes, where we had that discussion. Then we got into a further discussion about a katan can't work on a captive's field, and also relatives can't be installed to go and work on the fields of a katan because we're afraid that they're just going to go and claim that it's really theirs, and it's not going to work out. And we had a whole story about where this may have played itself out, where there was a captive and a katan involved. That was Daf Lamed Tes. We then got up to Daf Mem, where there was another Mishnah, which spoke about when we can, the shomer can deduct normal depreciation from a pikadon as a shomer. Meaning, if you're given some food and it's normal for some food to rot during that time, so you only have to pay back X minus whatever the normal depreciation would be. So we measure how much wine can be deducted also in a later Mishnah. And then get into another Mishnah about shlichus yad bepikadon, about misusing the pikadon, misusing the object that someone else gave you to watch. Did the owner specify the place? Maybe if then you put it back in its place and then something happened to it. So there's a big discussion if you're going to be chayv over there, which led us into a whole discussion about if you can return something, a stolen object, without das bailum. Do I need to inform you that the object was stolen and now it's back? Or can we just assume that I could just put it back and I don't need to inform you, and as long as it's back, then I'm going to be totally off the hook? This led us on to Daf Mem Aleph. On Mem Aleph, a whole machlokus about whether shlichas yad tzricha chisaron or not, which lasts us the rest of the parak. But we spoke about when you are shaleach yad, when you do use the item inappropriately, does there actually have to be something missing in order for you to be chayav for shlichas yad? And we had different psukim of shlichas yad. There's two psukim, one by a shomer chin and one by a shomer sachar. Why do we need both? Why do we need any of them if we could just learn it out from a shoal? This was all discussion on Daf Mem Aleph. On Daf Mem Beis, we had the next Mishnah talking about the proper way to guard money, which led us into some money advice. You got to diversify your investments. We also spoke about this bracha, this concept of Eina Bracha Mitsuya Ella Bedavar Shesamoy Min Ha'ayin. The bracha only comes to something when it's hidden there, and the brachos that you should make as you're looking in your accounts, as you're counting your stuff before you count it, don't do it after you count it, do it before you count it. We then had a bunch of different stories about different types of shomrim cases, when you would be chayv and when you would not be chayv, which led us on to Daf Mem Gimel. On Daf Mem Gimel, we spoke about the next Mishnah, talked about using a pikadon of money. If you're a money changer, so I'm a money changer and someone gave me something to watch, so the assumption is that I could probably use it, but a regular Baal Bas, probably not. A chenvani, that was a machlok, is whether a storekeeper, whether that's like a money changer, whether that's like a regular Baal Bas. We then had another Mishnah which spoke about how we judge the amount of the amount you're going to be chayav for and the timing of shlichas yad, how we have all of this there. And the final Mishnah of the Perek, which we just spoke about, was this concept of someone who thinks about doing Shlichus Yad. Are you going to be chayav for that? So Bishamai says you're going to be chayav right away because I'll call Dvar Pesha, just like speaking is enough, so too just thinking would be enough. Bezalel says, no, we have Imlo Shalach Yadobim Lechaseri. You actually have to do something in order to be chayav, and that is how the Gemara, well, that was the last Mishnah. The Gemara got into a bit of a discussion over there, but this is Perek HaMafgid. This leads us on to the top of Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, and Mir Tashem, we should be able to get to know Shas and Amir Tashem accomplish amazing things. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.